But I thought to sort of gather momentum on Luke 6. I'll tell you the verse shortly. To gather the momentum, I thought I will start from verse 37 to 42. Actually, the verse that I did with the children is verses 41 to 42. But I am reading from verse 37. It says this: "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken down, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He also told them this parable: "Can a blind lead the blind? Would they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher." Verse 41, "Why do you look at the speck of a sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eyes? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." That's the word of the Lord. There is an old English that says anything that goes around comes around. I remember one other time I said to you, don't use gadgets, use the Bible. I've been tested today to swallow my words. But anyway, I'm not going to use this as my Bible. I'll use this as my notes. Because something tragic happened over the weekend. My laptop just packed up. So I couldn't print my sermon, as I always do. So I'm stuck now with the gadget. There's a gadget in front of me. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we want to say to the devil, you have got nothing to do with the kingdom work. Amen?
Amen.
Right. So I go to my phone to see the printed sermon that I put on. Usually whenever I prepare my sermon, I always send it to my Gmail. So it's there. Anything that happens is there. It won't disappear. So it's there. My theme today is simply entitled, "The True Colors of a Hypocrite." Some people don't know the colors of a hypocrite. Some people live as hypocrites and they don't know they are hypocrites. Some people have become colorblind. So today, I want you to know the true colors of a hypocrite. In those two verses, Jesus described to his disciples the true colors of a hypocrite. In my preaching today, that is what I want you to pick up. Pick up what blinds people from knowing their true colors. Pick up what blinds people to know their true character. Pick up what makes people completely blind. But before I do that, I want to bring another reading to you. It's like a Bible study today, but it's not. Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 12. I think you know the story. 2 Kings, chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. It's me again reading. If you are there, we will start reading. But if you are still looking for the chapter, I'll wait for you. 382. Or 315 NIV. I would know with the King James because I don't have one. Jania, what's your in your King James? What's the number? 373. What's the number? The number in three in the church one? 382. In my one is 315. Okay. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little oil. Samuel chapter 12. Did I? Oh, my apology. No, sorry. 2 Samuel 12. Yes. Yeah, 315 in the NIV. Oh. Well, I'm glad you were at work. Because if you had gone to sleep, I was going to read right through without you even picking what's happening. All right. Let's start reading. The Lord sent Nathan to David. Right? The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little old lamb that he had bought. He raised it and grew it up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the old lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David turned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who had this must die. The man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb 4 times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you, and your master's wives into your hands. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I could have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you took his wife to be your wife, your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah and the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your household, I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. That's the word of the Lord. After that story that happened, David realized what he had done. And he accepted his mistakes. And after accepting his mistakes, the prophet said to him, the Lord has forgiven you. Because David
had come out in his true colors. When he answered Nathan, he thought actually he was referring to someone else, not knowing Nathan was referring to him. And he didn't hide it from him. He said, "You are the man. You are an evil man. Why have you done this?" Sometimes we get carried away by quickly wanting to comment on something that we hear or we see without realizing. Before I go into my story today, listen to this. There's a story that happened in 1969. Cartier, it's a diamond company or store, they bought a 69.42 carat spear-shaped diamond for $1 million. And they took that to America. And when they took it to America, they displayed it in their shop. In the display window, people who came to watch and look at that spear-shaped diamond came to 6,000 in a day. Just to go and view that diamond that cost $1 million. Imagine 1969 is way, way back. If you hear of $1 million. So there was a security guard there standing, watching, because someone might break the glass and take the diamond. So he could hear comments people were passing on that day. One lady said this. We start with the street vendor. He said, "I wish they could have just given me $200,000. I could have stopped vending in the streets of New York. What's wrong with other human beings? They buy a stone for such amount of money when I'm suffering." And then the second person, a security guard, murmured these words: "These millions for a piece of stone." Well, no comments. A short, balded man looked and laughed. "I see a flaw in this stone." And he left. Another lady came. "It's too large for my likings, but I wouldn't mind having it." And then finally, the security guard who was guarding the store, he said, "I've heard comments in one day that I have never heard my entire life." This morning, the parable that we read that Jesus was telling to his disciples is one that wants to show us about the true character of each individual. So your character is determined on how you treat other people. Earlier on, this story started earlier on in verse 37. That's why I said I want to read from verse 37, including 41 and 42. And those were the main verses in our sermon today. But in chapter verse 37, Jesus starts by saying, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." But how many times do we meet people and we quickly pass our judgment? There's a girl who used to come to a church, and she used to actually criticize how young girls in the church were dressing. She thought she was a role model in telling them how to dress decently. Already, she didn't know she was being critical to those other people's dressing. Why can't you just let it go and go on with your life? Because by criticizing the way others were dressed, she was actually making a mistake herself. Because by being critical to other people, already you are being judgmental. So that's why Jesus said, "Judge not, so that you cannot be judged." Because there are so many issues in our lives. Before we even worry about what other people are doing, consider what's around you. Correct what's around you before you even correct the next person. But it's not that way. It's the other way around. Jesus, this morning, he's teaching us about our personal attitudes. How do we live our lives? In that verse we read, it says in the New Living Translation, please, I beg you, don't worry about the speck in your friend's eye. Worry about the log in your eye. Someone once said, in Jesus' preaching, there's no humor. I think that was a wrong mistake. Because there was humor in Jesus' preaching. Just imagine someone walking in the street with a log protruding in your eye. Just imagine someone talking to the like of Thomas and Peter. Surely Jesus had a lot of humor. Imagine if I walk in the street with this ballpoint protruding in my eye like this. Jesus was full of humor. So there's one other thing we also learned today before you realize. He said, you hypocrites, before you worry about the sawdust in the other friend's eye, worry about the log in your eye. How are our personal attitudes towards others? Have we considered our own mistakes? Have we considered our shortcomings? Why can't we ask the Holy Spirit to help us where we have problems? Because we are quick to point this and that, this and that. But what about yourself? How would you get on with your life? You always see the mistakes in others. You always see the wrong in others. But what about your wrongs? Who is telling you about them? If no one is telling you about the wrong that you are doing, zip your mouth. Because you don't know the mistakes that you make also in your life. So the best thing, Jesus is saying this morning, before you do that, there's only a sawdust in my eye, but there's a log in your eye. So who is colorblind here? I have got a sawdust, you've got a log in your eye. So for you to know the true colors of a hypocrite, you need to know who has got a log and who has got a sawdust in their eye. Amen? There's a log in your eye and there's sawdust in my eye. But you want to take the sawdust out of my eye when there's a log in yours. Don't you think the other way around is the best way? Take the log out of your eye, then you can see the sawdust in my eye. I want you to take to this other story again in the book of John. It's all about personal attitudes. Right? How is your attitude towards other people? How do you treat other people? John chapter 8. If you can get to your Bible. John chapter 8. Let's hope you get the, or the, you get it this time. John chapter 8. 107:3 in the Church Bible. Chapter 8. I will start from verse 4. And they say to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded to us, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who had begun to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," he said, then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and live your life of sin. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Jesus didn't even condemn this woman. But let's look even at the lawyers who are supposed to be protecting and who know the law. They even violated it there. The woman was caught in adultery. They say it takes two to tango. We are only told about the woman. What about the man who was involved? These lawyers already, they've made a mistake themselves. But they are trying to be the perfect ones. But they don't see their mistake. But Jesus doesn't even accuse them. He only puts questions to them. And he goes on to say, if you are perfect, be the first one to stone this woman. According to the law of Moses, stone her. So Jesus started writing down on the ground. The Bible says they started going away one by one, starting with the older ones and then followed by the young ones. This morning, Jesus is writing down. I don't know what he's writing down about you, but he's writing down about how critical you are about others. He's writing down about how judgmental you are about others. He's writing down about your character. Why is he writing it down? He wants you to change. Because it's him who knows what's in your heart. I don't know what you are thinking right now. Maybe you are saying, oh, this guy is babbling in front of me. Jesus knows it. So he's writing down now, change your attitudes toward other people. But before we change our attitudes, there's something also he's telling us. He's telling us we need to tame our tongues. James 3 verse 8 says this, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless, evil, full of deadly poison. Yes, but he is Lord of all. Amen? Jesus is Lord of all. Yes, James is saying no one can tame the tongue. But Jesus is saying, remove that log in your eye so you can see the speck of dust in your brother's eye. That's how you can tame the tongue. Because Jesus has commanded it. Do it because he is the one. And also, the other thing that I want to remind you. Did you know that you belong to the royal family? Yeah? Yes! 1 Peter 2 verse 9 said, but do you know that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Because you've been called out of darkness into this wonderful light, you can tame the tongue. Amen. And then the next thing, remove the log in your eye. When you have removed the log in your eye, it's time for self-examination. Do we examine ourselves before we go and point a finger at the next person? Jesus says, remove the log in your eye, then you can examine. The sawdust in your brother or in your sister. May I pose a question to you this morning? How many times the people who live around you or your neighbors, if you ask about shortcomings in marriages, they've got it all. They know about your marriage than they know their one. They know how your children misbehave than their own children. They are even better than the reporters of the Sun. They've got all the information. They are a mobile CNN. So Jesus is saying, before you do that, before you know what's happening in my marriage, do you know what's happening in your marriage? Do you know if my children are misbehaving? What about your children? Why are you pointing at my children before you even correct your own children? So Jesus is saying this morning, I am writing down. When I have written down, I want to remind you, you are a royal priesthood, chosen, taking out of darkness into light. You are people of light now. Live in the light. Sometimes we look in our lives through spiritual glasses. But we need to look in our lives through spiritual mirrors. Amen? You see the difference? You look through the glass, you see what's behind. But if you look in a mirror, there is a reflection. So, the reflection of your life, how is it like? Is it the true image of Jesus Christ? If it's not, remove the log in your eye. And then start using a mirror. So that you can have that good reflection. Another thing Jesus is telling us this morning is, we need to get rid of sin. It's difficult on our own. Call the Holy Spirit will help us. Because he's saying, remove the log in your eye. I have actually termed this to be sin. The removing of that log is the removing of sin in you. So that you can actually help others. How can you want to help others when you are actually a sinner yourself? Sins are so different, but sometimes we do it without knowing. So that's why I said the true colors of a hypocrite. Sometimes we carry on, it becomes normal. Some sins become normal in our lives. Do you know some people who say to you, it's only between you and me, so don't tell anyone. It's no longer between the two of you because she came to you with that idea, so there is someone involved. So don't listen to that person. The moment you hear them saying, it's only between you and me, you tell them to zip their mouth, go back to where they got the information from. Because the moment you participate in that between you and me, you're actually sinning without realizing. But to us, it has become a normal thing. Oh, well, my friend was telling me this is a friend who loves me. No, they don't love you. They are helping you to sin. Because you're actually gossiping, if you didn't know that. The moment you hear someone saying, it's between you and me. Why do you think ministers have been told there's private and confidentiality? It's because of that. It's only between you and me. So we always say, if I hear something, it ends there. I don't tell the next person. So you also, if ministers are doing it, we are all human beings. Jesus is saying, remove the log in your eye so that you can see the speck in your friend's eye. There is no thing like it's between you and me. Never. That's a lie. There is something behind it. So to quash it off, we say, no. Yes, it's between you and me. It ends there. Don't tell me what's coming next. Because the moment you participate in that, you're actually pointing to the one with sawdust in their eye when there is a log in your eye. You're actually forgetting. You are looking at your life through a glass in a mirror. When you look in a mirror, you are showing the reflection of Jesus Christ. So in this short parable of Jesus, Jesus is saying to you and me, see the true colors of a hypocrite. Some people don't know the colors of a hypocrite because it's no more life to them. That's their way of living. But David realized that his way of living was actually he living like a hypocrite. So he was asked by Nathan to change. And he changed. He didn't know. So if you didn't know, this morning Jesus is saying to you, now you know. Before you criticize other people, criticize yourself. Before you tell other people, or look at your own life. Remove that log in your eye. And you'll be able to see. It is time now to tame the tongue. So that you can speak wiser words. Revelation 22 verse 12 says this. I am coming very soon. That is the Lord Jesus. But are you going to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus with your untamed tongue? Let's pray together.